Hey, you're only tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble falling asleep. Welcome, this is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story tonight. It's our ongoing fairy tale, After the Glass Slipper. I'm glad you're here. I hope this podcast works for you. And I'm here to tell you, all you got to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What am I going to do? What's the rest? Well, first off, I'm going to create a safe place where ideally you trust me because you don't really have to do anything but kick back and listen. And I'll say, hey, you know, I'm not really going to try to sneak I can't say I'm not up to any funny business. I'm not up to any nonsense. I can't say that. I create a safe place, ideally by trying to help you. I don't know, this control is a weird thing. What I'm going to do, I'll give you a short version, then a long, senseless version. But the short version, I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to try to distract you from whatever's running through your brain, whatever's got you tossing and turning. Whatever's poking at you, I'm going to tell this story about Agatha, the stepmother of Cinderella. And it's going to be a story you're going to say, well, it's okay. I'm going to keep listening here. I'm having a little trouble following the details. A guy, he talks in a way, grandfatherly. Like, but it's something else different. And then you'll say, well, I'm a little tired here. And I'll tell you right now, it's fine. You want to fall asleep in the middle of my story? Go right ahead. And then you'll say, well, he did say that, like, very enthusiastically, go right ahead, fall asleep. So I think wait a second. I was asleep there. I was dreaming, as many people say, about a bank teller just chattering at me. And then my alarm went off. So that's the short version, believe it or not. The long version is this control thing. At the end of the Game of Drones episode, I was talking about the bus. It's kind of like waiting for the bus. Back in the day, before I was when I was an occasional bus rider, back when I was a child, my dad took the bus. You know, you'd have a bus schedule, and when I lived in New York, I'd just go down and get on the subway. I never checked the schedule, but I can remember, you know, my dad taking the bus to work, and he'd say, well, I'm going to go, you know, bus comes at 8:17, I'm going to be there at 8:15. Ideally, you know, the bus comes at 8:17, and if you're waiting there, you're like, oh, well, when's the bus coming? It's 8:17. And but you don't really have any control over when the bus comes, but you wish you did. And then nowadays, in this wonderful world of applications, I happen to be a bus rider. And normally, when things are working, when my bus place is bringing their A game, I just look and I say, okay, time to leave home. The bus is going to be here in 12 minutes. Takes me about 8 minutes to walk to the bus stop, 4 minutes of daydream, or argue with someone that cuts me off in the crosswalk like a lunatic. So at 12 minutes, no problem, I'll be there. And then I hop on the bus. I'm like, wow, why don't more people take the bus? This is wonderful. I think in internet speak, they would say, well, that's kind of like a frictionless transaction. I get there, I get on the bus. Now, lately, past 2 weeks, I don't know what's going on. Now, it says they have pay. Now, first sign of trouble was when the third-party app that I used, I said, hey, what's going on with my buses? They said, oh, we don't have access to their GPSs anymore. I said, huh, that's interesting. So then I went back to the buses company's, you know, GPS app. And things the past 2 weeks, things have been haywire. It says, oh, the bus is coming in 68 minutes. Well, that's strange. There's supposed to be a bus every 12 minutes on Sunday or 15, whatever. And then it's like, oh, wait, no, there's my bus pulling down the street, or here it comes. So suddenly, now, I never had any control over the bus, but I had a little illusion of control because I said, well, I'm pretty sure I know when the bus is coming here. And in some sense, the past 2 weeks, that control or sense of control has been wrested or ripped away from me. Not sure what's going on. No labor, public labor dispute, so I don't know if it's, I don't know what's going on. But I know when I get there, I have no idea when the hell a bus is coming, and it's been in a variety of frustrations, none of which are within my control. But I do desperately desire control. You know, why can't the bus come right now when I want it to? And then when it, you know, now that I don't even have control over pretending to have control because I can predict the schedule, it's like, oh, I want to be, you know, I want to get control over somebody and say, you know, who do I yell at? And most of the time I realize it's not the driver's fault because they you could see the look on their face. And so they're like, oh, yeah. But you're I can't speak for you guys, but I'm still desperately, you know, seeking. And I even get on the bus, I'm still like, and I want to, you know, find somebody to come. And I say, well, most of the time that gets me in trouble. So, you know, let me just see if I can distract myself with something. Now, for some reason, now maybe this is like my, I think I'm about as intelligent and my base, when they say he's a bass person, not like boom, shaka, boom, boom, shaka, boom, boom. I mean, I like bass. I'm all about that bass. But I mean more like bass, like, you know, bass instincts, I guess. So I think I'm on that level. Unfortunately, I'm not on the higher planes of existence yet. So I can identify with these things. The same thing happens, you know, with sleep. I think this is a long, drawn-out thing. It's like you just want to go to sleep, but those things inside you, they're trying to wrest, you know, these base things going on with me. I want to control the bus schedule. I can't. It's perfectly normal to want to control things, perfectly healthy. In my amateur I'm not even a pop psychologist, but, you know, so when you get to bed, these things that are used to looking at the world and saying, hey, what can we control? We need some certainty. We need some control here. They're still running, and you get in bed, and those things don't even know. They don't even have control over the bus schedule, those poor guys. But at least there's like a lot, you know, like I said, I can pretend, hey, well, we know when the bus is coming, boys, so just relax. And they say, okay, we'll relax. Well, you say the bus is going to be here. If it's here within a reasonable time of what you said, we'll trust you. But unfortunately, all of a sudden, all those distractions are gone. And those things, as natural as their instinct is for certainty and control, they say, wow, this world is a dangerous place. Or you know, myself is, you know, whatever. They're still trying to wrest control. You know, they're still desiring it. And then the only person they can take it out on is you. This is probably just one scenario for a small sliver of population. And they got you tossing and turning all night. Meanwhile, you're in there. You want control. You say, hey, I just want to go to sleep, man. I really don't want to discuss my self-worth or my, you know, the things that, you know, cause me relationship issues or why, you know, what am I doing? You know, that's, like I said, that's not, it's not the best time for it. Unfortunately, these other parties, they don't know that. But somehow, because my mental makeup is similar to these baser parts of you that want to just say, hey, let's be in control and feel safe. This world, I can't handle, you know, this adulthood. Because I don't know. Me and those parts of you are simpatico, I guess is what I'm saying. And so I have an in with them, which is, I don't know, I'm close, I can relate. So then when I start telling these stories, they say, hey, wait a second, I'm going to stop bothering you for a second. This guy, he definitely doesn't know what he's talking about. But, you know, instead of yelling at you, I'm going to listen to this story because, you know, it's distracting enough. They say, well, if you can't give me certainty, give me some kind of distraction. Stuff to distract yourself at bedtime. When you had a couple people in your head yelling at you in your own voice, my opinion only. So I do it for you. You know, but I'm not going to distract you. Well, I'm going to distract, I don't know, I'm not, you know, save the Freudian, Jungian analysis of, you know, you can analyze me. Don't worry about analyzing yourself. Whatever those things are, whatever they're, your metaverse or your ego or your super cycle, they'll listen to me, probably, hopefully for some of you. If the podcast works for you, they'll say, whoa, this guy is, he's talking like a woman now. And he doesn't sound like a woman, but I can picture a woman talking in my head, so I'm just going to listen along here instead of yelling at Barry. And that's the podcast. So hopefully, ideally, while this is all going on, either you're like, what the hell metaphor is that guy going for when he was talking about the bus? Beatrice, I fell sound asleep. Did he ever get to a point? He say, honey, I was actually finishing up my knitting. I don't think he did. And as a matter of fact, I thought about cross-stitching him, but then I said, well, I'm kind of tired too, and then I went to sleep. So that's that might not even be you and your partner. That might be two of the people in your head, Bernie and Beatrice, double Bs, one, you know, I don't know, but I'm here to distract you. I'm here to chit-chatter, blither-blather, and, you know, fill your head with senseless lather and, you know, possibly, you know, mispronounce basic words like senseless. And meanwhile, you just drift off in a dreamland. That's what I hope for you. Okay? I'm glad you're here. I hope I help you fall asleep. Podcast on the web, sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can get me at feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. I'm on Twitter at Dear Scooter. You can get us on Facebook. You can comment on the website. I'd love to hear from you. You can send a postcard or self-addressed stamped envelope. You go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/SASE. If you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you 3 pages of show outline, handwritten. And you'll say, wow, this guy writes just like he writes just like he thinks. I'm not sure if I should be frightened or sympathetic or both. And you say, Brent, let's go with both. So that's it. I'm glad you're here. If you're saying, how can I support the podcast? And you're going to be doing some shopping on Amazon, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/Amazon first. They won't charge you any money, but then if you buy some stuff, so they give us a small percentage, but a small percentage of something is something. So, and if you want to buy your sleep headphones, just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones. Yeah, that's it. All right. Hey guys, this is Drew from Sleep With Me Podcast. Sorry to be interrupting your regularly scheduled programming. I just wanted to give a heads up for anybody coming to the meetup this weekend, Sunday, April 27th, the last Sunday in April, which is a couple days from now. We're going to meet near the south. If you come in the south entrance, this is according to the customer service person, we're going to meet at the 40-foot Bliss statue at definitely at 1 o'clock. I'm going to 1 o'clock. So that's it. I'll return you to regular scheduled program, but some of you I'll see Sunday at the South Entrance Treasure Island Flea Market Bliss statue. Thank you. So I want to thank Chris Posty Posterson that does our music over at soundslikeanearful.com. I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer who do our iconic artwork. I want to thank Chris G for the email, Patty for the email, Betty for the email, Stacy, good old glittering for the email, possible future content, probable, likely. What's more likely, probable or likely? But yeah, for sure. Over on Facebook, I'm going to say Matthew E., Christopher T., and his sister, Sister T., Silvertone. Silvertone's girlfriend who's under the weather. I say hi to Babs, Jackie on Twitter, Andy, Emily, Libby, Fern, L-A-B-E, Expire Airman. Sandy, Rachel B., already one listener initiated from Emmy. Emily. That reminds me, that's like this. Emily and Emmy, together with one name in harmony. It's like you turned a Y into I. iTunes reviews. I got a couple of iTunes reviews. I want to thank Happy Healing Lady, who says we're surprisingly wonderful. Surprisingly, is you. I've never heard of those two words used about me, except with this, except related to this podcast. Was surprise? I've heard surprisingly used many, even employee evaluations. Employee is surprisingly. I won't, for legal reasons, I can't go on into any details about that, but. Thank you, Happy Healing Lady, for using it in a positive context. I mean, there's nothing, I mean, yeah, of course, a surprise. It's like, it's tough living your life on the downside of surprises, you know. So I'm glad to be on the upside, for now. Thank you, though. Thank you. Still trying to wrest control from the world. Of say, well, I'd just rather not be surprising. But you know, it's nice. Thank you. Amazing from KMV. WKMV. Thank you for your review. I listen to lots of podcasts. That's already wow. So, and this one makes my life better. Jeez, thank you. Baby, you and me were never meant to be. Baby, just think about me. Then I sing that once. I don't know how it starts. I don't know if I ever watched that, any episodes of that show. Got tired of packing and unpacking. Town to town, up and down the dial. The podcast put radio out of business, man. So maybe just think about me once in a while. I'm at Sleep With Me podcast. All right, so now if anybody gets, I shouldn't earworm people, so I probably should just put that in the, yeah. All right, let's move on. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of After the Glass Slipper. My name is Agatha. I am Cinderella's stepmother. I want to welcome you to another episode of After the Glass Slipper, the tale of what happened to Cinderella after she became princess, after she obtained the glass slipper. And I've been telling this tale because I happen to be the one in it. And what happened was we've had many, many long things going on with Cinderella and the fairy godparents. Complications, things happening, unexpected things, ogres, orgs, one or the other, children of stunted emotional stunted growth, possibly, if I had a better understanding of fairy development, because they're fairy children, sick fairy godparents, double crosses. It all came to a head in the fairy kingdom where I was with the children who were adults or both. I was Cinderella. I had double crossed her to sneak Cinderella out. I said, okay, you guys get out of here. Take Cinderella. I will turn a pit of lentils into a beast that is me with my anger. To distract these soldiers while you escape. You might say, oh, did you self-sacrifice? Well, no, I had an idea. I thought I was buying time. And so many times when people buy, they say, well, I'm buying time for your escape. You say, okay, well, it's a self, well, not technically, it's not a self-sacrifice, because you say, well, you know, you might be watching it from the outside saying, well, that person said, you know, well, no, there's a chance I'm going to get out of this pretty decent. If I am in the Queen of Lentils, a giant lentil beast, pretty good chance I thought I would get out of it, fight my way out, buy some time, be rescued. Unfortunately, what ended up happening was this king who had double-crossed Cinderella, who was here with all the soldiers. I fought them off for a while. But then he was a bright enough character. There was some off-gassing from the fracking I was doing with the fairy energy, pushed the natural gases of the earth up to the surface. They happened to be volatile gases. He cooked me. Poached, some might say, but he poached me. Or the lentils that were, that had become my corporal body, is that correct or no? They had become my body. I was one with the lentils. My body is now, as I'm talking to you. So they cooked the lentils. I absorbed a lot of, I started absorbing the lentils, you know. And then as they absorbed into me, I became more, my viscosity lowered. And so I became kind of stuck, more or less. So I could not move. And then they let me dry out with the sun. And they gathered round me, and they said, oh, and as I dry, I said, well, I kind of got stuck because I was no longer the queen, you know, a lentil beast. I was a more of a lentil mass that happened to be also alive. Now you might be saying to yourself, oh dear, this poor creature, she's stuck here. Not exactly the worst case scenario, because as I said, I was trying to buy some time for Cinderella to escape. So time has bought the king and his soldiers, his minions. They were after the fairy source, which we have camouflaged to one degree or another. So hopefully it will take them some time to discover it. Now, they do not know this, and I am whispering. Well, as a lentil, I wonder, do I have those throat vibrators? What are those things called? The things that vibrate in your throat. Throat cords. I think the medical man once told me that's what they were called. I said, do I have those things as a lentil, or am I just thinking this? I don't know if I'm vocalizing it, but I am doing it, doing my best to keep it quiet because I'm buying the time. They may track down the fairy source, but they're trapped in here. I don't know if they figured that out. I cannot remember. You know, when you change from a human to a fairy, using fairy magic, and then you become a queen of a beast of lentils. I don't know. Do you call it a beast of lentils? Would you call it a lentil queen of lentils? I prefer. But then you say, well, you're more of a monster. And I would say, who are you calling a monster? I am a bit of a monster. Looking around, I'm just a heap, a lentil heap. Oh, boy. Not my ideal dream to become a heap of lentils. No woman's dream, no man's dream. A child, I bet many child say, well, if you said I could use magic powers to make you a heap of lentils, they'd say, oh, sign me up. But that is the status right now. I am a heap of lentils. I am trapped here with this fool king. I think I called him King Pumpernickel. I do not believe that is his actual name. But I am here with him. And I'm just buying time. So it's not ideal. I did not set out to be a lentil mass. Living lentil mass. A living lentil mass, I suppose. I did not set out to be a living lentil mass, but that is buying time and being a mass of lentils, not a terrible situation to be in by any means at all. So, you know, other than being a mass of lentils, I cannot say that, I no longer have the ability to pat myself on the back. As I no longer am sure I have a, if I'm just one mass, what is my back? What is my front? I mean, my eyes are facing one direction. But I can pat myself on the back, but I would not. But I'm hoping that the children and Cinderella are back at the kingdom. I'm sure that this buffoon's gods, the rest of the soldiers, she is such an... They will fall. Not under her spell. She does not need a spell. She just says, would you rather... Oh, here comes the king. He's talking. Complain. King Pumpernickel approaches. I should say something demeaning. I'm not sure, again, if I have vocal cords. I wonder if lentil masses, former lentil monster, now a mass, can communicate by mental facility. I don't know. He's speaking to me. It's hard for me to move. I think I have lips or something like lips. He's demanding, where the king? I feel like an interpreter. I wonder one day, if I was young, maybe I could, in the twilight of my life, I would not be interested in this, but someone similar to me could be a ogre interpreter, or an ogre. I sure you could be an org interpreter as well. And but this is what I feel like. This he's yelling, "Where is the source?" Blah blah said blah blah blah. Oh boy, he's going on. He's in. We will find it sooner or later. Okay, well, good luck with that, because we're trapped in here. I do not think he can. My lips are not moving. Okay, so he's saying to throw water on me so my lips can move. He is a intelligent buffoon for a buffoon with a dark. Oh bless. Oh my face. I guess I do have lips. Oh dear. Amazing that a little bit of water on a wet mass of lentils can make my lips come out. I'd like to kiss your bearded face, you. Oh, so you say it, don't spray it, I think that you said to a man once in the inn. You yelled at me, so where is the source? I don't know. Everywhere, nowhere. Somewhere, one of those things, possibly. And again, you never answered my question about your beard. Is that your natural beard color, or do? And what would you rub in it? Some ink? That would not be very comfortable, I would believe, to rub a beard of ink. I think is that what they call those sea creatures, bearded Incas? I don't know. Anyway. I you can scream at me all you want. I'm just here. I'm not going anywhere unless you have, I think my mass has increased to such a level. Even if I was all wet with water, I don't know if I could go any. Oh, well, you're trapped here. So why don't we just make, okay, keep you. If you'd stop yelling, I'm hearing something else. Oh, it's hoofbeats. Do you have some hoofed soldiers, cavalry off? Oh, he's talking to, he said, oh no, soldiers approaching, from where? I'm interpreting for you people, don't worry. They're carrying a banner. As the banner says, good news. Oh dear, where the hell? Oh boy, is there like about four or five, so some sort of non- soldier in that group. Oh no, if I had a pit, I wonder if I have a pit of a stomach in a pit of lentils. Do you have a pit? Could you have a pit in your stomach, or are you the pit? I don't know. Okay, here is the king is coming with this. He's dismounting. Okay, I'm going to tell you what to tell you. Say this man, he's robes of. Those are flowing robes he's in. A bit of a wind has picked up here. And he's there discussing. Hello, fairy godfather. Fairy godfather. That is not a term we call. Okay, well, I'll save my commentary for when they address me. something's wrong here. That's what this flowing robe man is saying. Assuming this is Oolong, because he just said Godfather Oolong. So that would make him Oolong. He's saying something's not right here. Why is it? Let me do his. What is this horrible face here on this pit? This pit smells terrible, like it's some. It smells like my mother's cooking. Excuse me, buffoon. I mean, you in the flowing robes. I am Agatha. You could refer to me properly as Agatha. He is a bit speechless now, my friends. He's saying, "What? Witchcraft is? Is it no witchcraft? It's fairy magic, is what it is. You flowing robe. You say, is your name? You call yourself a fairy godfather? I've never heard that term before. Is it here in? I'm from. I'm Cinderella's stepmother." Well, formerly Cinderella's stepmother, now, and then formerly Queen of Lentils, imaginary Queen of Lentils. For one time, I was the Queen of Lentils, and then I would still like to be referred to as the Queen of Lentils, but I was a monster, lentil monster, and now I am just a mass of lentils. But you could still refer to me as Agatha, formerly Cinderella's stepmother. Now a mass of lentils. But yes, we never called our fairy... I guess it's strange. We did have a delineation. How do you say that word? Delineate. We would call them fairy godmothers or fairy grandpapas. I think our grandfathers. I don't think we ever use the word godfather. I don't understand why someone said you don't want to use. I think, well, they came with their names. The naming conventions were already established with this, you know, when we met them, but I've never heard anyone called a fairy godfather before. Is that a common thing? Do not be distracted that you're talking to a pit of lentils. I am a fully intelligent human. Yes, you're a fairy godfather. Okay, well, were you once, you don't want to get into it? I don't care. Where is the fairy source? Somewhere. I have told your friend here, Prince Pumpernickel, or King Pumpernickel, whatever, Lord Darkbeard, that I'm not totally sure where the fairy source is. But anyway, fairy godfather, so were you once a fairy grandparent or godparent? And then you became, I guess you would still say, well, technically, if I'm a godfather, I'm still a fairy... I mean, I don't have time to deal in that nonsense. But are you let me just imagine, and you seem to be losing your patience with me. You're just saying I'm buying time? Well, I have a question for you, though. Let me just hear me out, and then my time will be up, I suppose. Are you a rogue? I remember one storyteller came to the inn for a week. My daughter owns an inn. She's married to a man that owns an inn. She does all the work. She is the expert. The man is not, she does all the work, but but anyway, they had this storyteller one week, and he told the tale of the rogue wizard that was cast. I mean, this was from a land far, far away or some such thing. Or maybe it was a rogue swordsman from I don't know, but he was a rogue. He was supposed to live by a code, and he, you know, to help do, you know, I know the fairy code. I know the fairy code of the fairies I've dealt with. Do what needs to be done, which most of the time I would assume means like what good needs to be done. So that is their code. But in this story, it was a code, you know, a system of codes of honor, integrity. But he could not live by those codes because he was so selfish and so full of, he said, I must have robes that flow to show I am above the fray of the common, you know. I wish I knew if it was a wizard or a swordsman. That would make it a little bit easier to explain to you. But anyway, he couldn't live by the code, so he became a rogue wizard. Let's just say he's a swizzard. It'd be easier to tell the story that way. rogue swizzard. He was cast out by his sisterhood or brotherhood or grandparenthood, forced to wander alone, take jobs from people who, no offense, this is a metaphor, dark of beard and dark of heart. And, go to the highest bidder, you know, bandy about like robes blown by the wind wherever they could be carried, not following any code or direction. Not with no code to live by. And I don't exactly have a code for myself. I had a code, Agatha Thirst. Oh, and I did not, I wish I had formalized that code, but it was Agatha First. That was my code for many years. Then it was, Agatha and her daughters first. And then it was Cinderella Last. That did not work out so hot. I said I should have just kept it Agatha First, you know, to be simple. But if I was braver, like these fairy godparents, they enter, and I don't know if they're born in, I don't know the choice system. But clearly, you're speechless, I see. So I'm going to take it that I am correct. And you are a man without a code, or, well, I guess a god man. Oh boy, I do a godfather man. Could I just call you, you say you go by Oolong. How about if I call you the Swizzard? You don't like that, so that is what I will call you. Or flowing robe face. And don't think I will forget how you said, what is that ugly face that happened to be randomly arranged in the lentils? That's strange. Yeah, I heard that. Oh, dear, I got so irritated with you and your flowing robe, Swizzard man, that I, Swizzard is short for, your soldiers are even giggling. I forgot, how the hell did you get in here? Where are you coming from? I guess I was getting a little haughty, since I dislike you so. What do you mean you had the key? You had the key to get into the... Where did you get the key? From Cinderella? Oh, dear. Oh, dear, dear, dear. You've captured Cinderella. Was there children? Was there fairy middle-aged people that talked like children? There were? Oh, good God, you've locked them in the castle. Oh, no. Oh, dear. Were you scheduling them for execution for what? Well, there's still... Geez, you've captured someone sneaking around... What do you mean? I could tell you don't have to execute anyone. Please, please. What do you mean it's too late? I'm a pit of lentils. I demand to be listened to be heard. Maybe you should delay the punishment until you wouldn't you too want to be there to supervise? You should wait till you go back to supervise. I mean, I could always tell you where the fairy source is with that, Okay, who have you captured? Oh, no. It's Clifford. Yes, I know who this man is. It's Clifford, my we're associates. Oh, hello, Clifford. Yes, this is Clifford. This is, Swizzard. He likes to be called Oolong, but you better call him Oolong, Clifford, and this is I never caught his name, but I call him Prince Pumpernickel. I think he fancies himself a king. This is his army. Clifford, what has happened? What has happened to Cinderella? Oh, Clifford, tell me, is Cinderella okay? Is the children okay? Did you meet the fairy? Oh, you met the fairy children. I forgot. The ogres and some of the creatures have... Oh, my plan. Clifford, I had hoped that... There's too many soldiers. Oh, dear. Clifford, tell me, how is everyone okay? What about Gonzalo? Silence. You better watch your tongue, Swizzard. Would you be... You gagged... Why are you gagging Clifford? Don't gag him. He, Clifford, just don't talk for now. Maybe you could sit. Do you have the ability? Oh, I wish I had. I guess I don't have the ability to mind. Mind melt. What did you used to call your group, Clifford? Were you in a, you were called a master. Mentor teams. Your mentor teams. Could you communicate by mind with your mentor team? Oh, the King. King Pumpernickel, you have a mentor team? Master mentals. Oh, you guys should get together. Now, again, I'm terribly torn internally by hoping that Cinderella and the children and Clifford, any chance the letter, my letter friend is okay? Any chance my letter friend is okay? Oh, your eyes tell me you're not sure. Well, I just, maybe to distract myself from this grief, I just was thinking... Wait, how did you know? You know what a mentor team? Oh, because you knew Clifford's friends. Oh, you're shaking hands now. You're both part of master mentors? What did you call them? I hate to go on a tangent here, but this all sounds like your perversion of friendship. Now, I'm not a woman known to have friends. Occasionally, I have the ability to be friendly. And like I said, once I lived by Agatha First policy code. And if a woman has a code, it's better. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe that. Probably I was better off living my life without the Cinderella last code. But I'd say to you, you know, this mentor, you're not mentoring anyone. I know there was a man named Mentor. Oh, no, that was a story. That is someone that says, hey, let me help you. I want nothing in return. Whereas you boys, you say, I will help you. So, Clifford, you had, what, 5, 10 people on your mentor team? And you say, I help you if you help all of me. So you're getting a 10-to-1 help ratio. That is the opposite of me. Oh, boy, you seem to be losing patience with me, King Pumpernickel. But you see, if I cannot accept the crippling truth, I'd rather talk about anything other than my plan, which has clearly failed, which was to buy time so that Cinderella could, you know, win the trust of your soldiers, secure the kingdom, you know, bring her soldiers out, which I take it you probably captured them. I would have thought Gonzalo would have had but I guess this is all on me, and it was my mistake. It's crushing. If I don't think lentil masses have, could you pour some water on my face? You with the water bucket, just splash me, so I could feel tears, because I am just it is great. It is greater than shame and disgust. It is everything hinged on my making a plan and saying this is the plan that will save everyone, which was to have Cinderella escape, to buy some time, lock you in here. The fairies would regain their power and come and save us all. And that seems to... Maybe I should just keep distracting myself. One second. Let me go back, because I need... It's just such a terrible idea to say you're going to help people, but really you're just trying to get help from them, like Clifford. Clifford, have you learned from your mistakes? You know... Oh, one question, Dan. Oh, no, you're not Dan. That's the fool that Clifford fell for. Clifford, have you ever thought that this might be some sort of sexual thing? Are you... Never mind, we won't talk about your sexual... Pumpernickel. Clifford, they get pins. Do you do pins for, like, if you are a mentor junior? Clifford, what were you, a mentor junior? Thought leader? Basic thought leader? Thought follower is more like it, but... Do you do pins? Oh, you do badges, like a sew-on badge. Oh, very creative. But let me just make an example of Clifford, because he found men that were... Clifford, you're looking at me sadly. He found people that said, well, these people are very successful. If I hang with them, maybe the thing in my, the doubt I feel about myself in my heart will go away. Maybe they say you lift yourself, bootstrap yourself, but maybe by being close to them, it will, their shine will take, but I think they were using you, Clifford. You know that now. You know that. They were offering you. Yes, because, oh, you didn't know about that part of the plan. I thought you did. Well, this pumpernickel here in Swizzard, they'd double-crossed you. Your friends sold out our entire kingdom. Oh, you did. What is your face saying? I can't make out your face. Oh, why are you grabbing Clifford? Excuse me, Swizzard. Why are you directing them? Oh, no. Pumpernickel, King Darkbeard, why, what are you going to do with Clifford? Why are you, no, you're not going to, how about this? Please don't do anything to Clifford. I have an idea. I have a compromise. You see, I'm a very proud woman, and I cannot just tell you where. I mean, I will tell you where the fairies for Clifford is all lost. If I, do you think Cinderella and them are gone? Yes, your face is telling me something bad. Okay, Pumpernickel, Swizzard, you have beaten me, and unfortunately, I've beaten myself, and you just happen to be at the right time in the right place. But I need to keep talking. If I stop talking, I will be dead. What will I turn into him if I'm already a mass of lentils? Morning mass of lentils. Okay, so do not hurt Clifford, okay? I will tell you where the fairy source is. There's no reason for you guys to be running around. Well, searching for something you won't find. I will tell you where the fairy source is, but as I said, I'm a proud woman. So you not only must spare Clifford's life, but King Darkbeard, Prince Pumpernickel, I know this wizard in you, he's your godpapa, or his godfather, whatever you prefer. And he's your, but I want you to take Clifford. You seem... He has a... Clifford, could you just bring Clifford a little bit out of earshot? Clifford, he is not... You see, you're a handsome man. Whatever your name is, King, whatever. And clearly you've maneuvered... I don't know who's just birthright. I have no idea where even much about your kingdom. I'd be interested to know... Well, now is not the best time because I'm not trying to buy time anymore. So ease it up. I see you pacing over there with your flowing robes, Swizzard. Just strike me this deal. On your honor, as a bearded, handsome king that has defeated me, I am defeated. You could cook me up or however you dispose of lentil mass. Just... And you know, do something honorable with I can't think about that either. Just take Clifford under your wing. He is. I see something in him. I'm sure of it. Nearly sure of it. Now don't leave him alone with any valuable things for the time being. But would you take him to and bring him? If you have an effective way of thinking, you're leading your thoughts or whatever it is you boys talk about. When I take him on as an assistant, he could take notes. I don't know. Please. And then I will tell you the source. Keep him safe on your honor. Hold your hand to your beard and say, first off, I cannot trust you. Well, never mind. I have to trust you. As a man with a wonderful beard, I solemnly swear to this mass of lentils. It's very good. That I will take this Clifford, give him a patch, or whatever you call it, a badge, and teach him the ways of my mentoring, in a real way. Okay. Clifford, come over here. Good news, Clifford. You need to keep him alive, clearly. Yeah, good news, Clifford. Don't worry about that last part. I've struck a hard bargain after losing... after losing everything... Ooh, because of my planning. Well, this may not work out either, Clifford, so you can decide whether to just be... whatever they're going to do with me, or you could go with this man and have your dream of being a head of a group of thinkers, you know, come true. What do you think? What do you think, Clifford? And then I will be... Don't ever worry about me if you are going to. I know you'll probably... You could... let me give you some advice, Clifford. This is all my fault. If the circumstances were different... And it was not Swizzard and Darkbeard, Pumpernickel here. And Cinderella left me for some other reason. Say there was a bird with hurt wings many miles to overnight. And she said, well, I must go. I heard about this bird with hurt wings. I must ride off for the night. So, Agatha, I'll leave you in charge for one night. Clifford, this would have probably happened in some sense. Or somehow I would have planted something... It grew into a mountain, then I would cause an avalanche that would eventually sweep away our kingdom. So, as you go and think about how to, just think about me and an evil stepmother and tell their tale of how Pumpernickel and Swizzard beat the evil stepmother who had, something like, Clifford, how's that sound? So what is that other sound? What is that? It sounds a bit like yelling. Yeah, something is yelling. What is this? All the soldiers are turning. What are you? Who's yelling? Do you have soldiers coming? A team of yellers to celebrate your defeat? Wait a second. Oh my! What is? Is that a man covered with a flag on a horse? Oh, I recognize that yelling. It sounds a bit... It is my letterman. He's holding... Is he holding a sword? He looks so good. He was so wrinkled. He's stopping and facing off with all... Well, letterman... Oh, excuse me. I can't reach him because of all your soldiers are massed ready to... He's just a letterman. You could easily defeat him. Oh, wait a second. What is that? Oh, boy, what is that creature behind him? Clifford, why are you grinning so and pointing at your chest? Swizzard, do not grab Clifford. Why are you pointing? Is that? It's shining. It's a giant. It looks like a giant praying mantis. It's coming over here. It is a shining praying mantis. It's grabbing Clifford. Oh, yeah. Oh, Swizzard, you missed Clifford. He's going. Is that? Oh, Clifford's on the shoulder of a giant praying mantis who's. Oh, he just. Pumpernickel, it's a pin, it's a giant praying mantis pin. I guess Clifford is a thought leader now. He just smashed away about half your troops. Oh dear, and my letter man is, those arrows go right through letters, sorry boys. Oh, there are fireballs flying through the sky now from another direction, hitting your troops. Oh, do those hurt your screaming? Oh, you know what? I recognize that smell. That's weaponized butter. I know who's doing that. Miss Butter. Oh, this is surprising. So, Clifford, you can't hear me. I wish I could move to, flick a lentil out of me, but I'm a bit stuck. I wonder if I try to turn and vibrate myself. I wonder if I could be join this fray. Oh, my letter man just knocked a man off his horse. Hello, paper cut. You've got a... Whoa, paper cut your head right off your... Wow, that's quite the cut. Oh, hooray, I've never felt... I'm so surprised. I hear a boy's voice. Oh, that's a boy's voice riding in behind us. While you were distracted by a letter and a giant mantis pin with Clifford on it. Oh, Clifford's throwing pins now. Yeah, the Clifford, those won't... Oh, he can't hear me. Those won't hurt them. What do you think now, Swizzard? Are you ready to subserve to me or something? Oh, but look at that. See that boy? Swizzard, come closer, I tell you. You see that boy there, riding that creature? Now, that creature, you see its teeth that are ripping into the... those are candy teeth. Your soldier would not know it, because your soldier would not know he is being devoured by candy teeth, but he is that. But that young man riding, that's my friend Gonzalo. He is the sweet... Do not yell at me, Swizzard. Do not scream at me. I'm telling you about my lovely Gonzalo that I thought I lost. And Clifford, who I, you know, was willing... You know, he Clifford, my associate, and my little man, who is a version but of myself. So I'm fighting you, even though I can slowly... ongoing. And there's a horde of... ogres, Pumpernickel, that are surrounding the rest of your troops. They seem to have some sort of butter, weaponized butter launchers. Oh, Swizzard, what are you pulling out there? Some sort of long-range or wand weapon? Oh, actually, you are pulling out a long-range. Is he saying some sort of spell, Pumpernickel? You better tell him to stop. It looks like he's aiming. Oh. Hey, okay, I can... your soldiers, why don't you just... Pumpernickel, you better tell him not to fire on any ogres, or God forbid what I will do as a pit of lentils if he shoots at Gonzalo. Oh, dear, Pumpernickel just jumped on the back of an ogre. That will not end well for... Okay, Swizzard, I am ordering you to stop as a mass of lentils... I mean, he's going to hit Gonzalo. I must move. Okay, I've got it. I'm moving. My mass is lifting. I'm very heavy, Swizzard. I'm slowly pushing. Oh, he's so distracted. I'm pushing myself into a little denser shape, almost like pushing. Well, you don't want to know what I'm pushing. Like I'm pushing, but it's dense and it's thick, and I'm pushing myself up, and now I'm tipping down on the... Oh, dear, I just splattered the Swizzard. Splattered under a mass of lentils. Now I'm no longer in a pit of lentils, but I'm just a plop of lentils. And it seems that the soldiers are quavering. I think that beard is covered in weaponized butter now. Not a fiery one. It seems to be green and... It is making some sort of sizzling sound, though. Oh, well, this is a change. I guess my plan, and after all, I guess this whole time I was just by. Now, you may have... I better wrap it up, children, and I could tell you that things look pretty good all of a sudden. And it looks like someone who was just buying time with her emotional... ups and downs. You might have heard, Agatha's getting soft there. You know, destroying a whole kingdom and her stepmother and the boy she took a shine to, and then the adult fairy children she took a shine to. Having them all destroyed really hurt her feelings. Wow, she is a feeler now. No. I was buying time. And now that the time has been purchased by my... You know, I'm willing as to be embarrassed in front of a former Swizzard. Now, I don't know what's left under this lentil plop, but, you know, we'll see. And, you know, so time bought, purchased, you know, with my almost tears, quite, you're surprised, a woman destroys a kingdom, she doesn't cry. If I was not buying time, I would have been weeping. You say, well, does she have a heart? Can we trust her? Well, yes, if I knew, of course I would have cried. Of course. I need to go. This question, line of questioning is not making me comfortable one bit. I must go greet Gonzalo after whatever that is. Is that jelly on the face of his little creature there? I need to go see my letter man. He will come and I will say hi to him and say, what happened to you? Now, you know, I thought you were just a... Anyway, I will talk to you soon. Good night, children.